The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for your mighty power. Thank you for your ability that can change anything, that can fix anything. Thank you that this ability is working in us now, as sons, as saints. Thank you, Father, for your life is working in us now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your ability that works in us. Thank you for you are able to exceed our expectations. Thank you for you are able to fix our issues. Thank you. Ha ha ha. Talk in other tongues, come on.
Imam Machuku, oh wapo. Ibu nanya ya,
kari rai nawata,
utuh konyerai, bawa
bulinya ya, owe si roti to, hallelujah.
And maybe somewhere in the midst of the service, hallelujah. Maybe somewhere in the service, we are going to have the power of God break out in our midst. Hallelujah. Praise God. Considering what I started last week, how to improve and make progress your spiritual flow. Hallelujah. For you've heard it again and again and again and again of how you're righteous in Christ, but then the guilt still rises right there in your heart. The guilt still rises and you ask, what can I do? It doesn't look real. You just need to hear it again and again, but this time not from any other person. You need to hear it from your own mouth. You need to hear it from your own mouth. You need to speak God's word to yourself again and again, telling yourself of how righteous you are and how holy God has made you. And as you shall hear it from your own mouth, as you shall say it to yourself, it will rise very strong in you, and that conviction will be formed and settled in your heart that indeed you are God's righteousness, and not even your mistakes can disqualify you from these things which God has wrought for us in Christ Jesus. And so say it to yourself again and again. Tell yourself you're righteous. Tell yourself that the power of God works in you. Let yourself hear it. For as you shall say it with your own tongue, it shall settle in your heart, and there will be no place for guilt in you, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's get to the word of God. How to make progress in your spiritual flow, in your walk with God. Thank you, Father. Reko takeash. Zizape, zizape, kula priate tekeiko. Zifareti akura pa te kalatosha. Zune kabarate, kula te para. Ponia te kali kora pa te kate kola paya. Ziloketi yabarata kea. For that which you call a simple guilt, keko barata, is the reason lacuna feya take rapate colo basieti fianush in area fatega. Is the reason why the things that you've heard and you know in your head have not begun to manifest so much. Why it is not yet, it's not a reality yet in your heart. But then say those words to yourself. Oh yes, yes. But I say them to myself, you say, but it doesn't make sense. Hear what the Lord says. Say it from the place of prayer. Give some time to prayer. Give some time to tongues. Then all trust is going to rise in your inside. And you're going to confess the things that God has wrought for us in Christ Jesus. For that is the reason you've not made much progress. That is what has kept you down. That's what silenced that voice in you for some time. But right now you're going to say those things to yourself. Say them to yourself. Yes, roba, leka, bora, teka. For you've heard it from men. You've heard it from the Bible. Now you need to hear it from your own self. Tell yourself those things that God has said. Don't say them in your mind. Speak them out vocally. For that is what has kept you down for some time. And the little progress that even you think you've made, that's what has kept you down. Because actually, You are not depressed. What is keeping you down is guilt. What is keeping you down is guilt. You think you've gone too far. You think you've made so much mistakes. You think you're not qualified for this. But hear it again and again that you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. God thinks you are good. God thinks you merit it. God thinks you qualify. And if God thinks you qualify, I'll tell you what you qualify for it. So say those things to yourself. For once has it been said, and twice have we heard that power belongs to God. So when you hear it once, say it to yourself a second time. Say it to yourself a third time. That I'm righteous in Christ. That I'm accepted in the beloved. Let not those lies of the devil rise in your heart again. Say them to yourself again and again. Again and again. Take 2 minutes. Confess God's word to yourself. Go ahead. Announce God's word to yourself. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm accepted in the beloved. Go ahead and speak. Go ahead and speak God's word. Go ahead and speak God's word. I'm righteous in Him. I'm accepted in Him. God thinks I'm good. God calls me holy. He calls me sanctified. He calls me sanctified. He calls me sanctified. I have the ability of God. I can do what He says I can do. I have what He says I have. I walk in what He says I have. Goodness and mercies are mine all the days of my life. For the Lord is my shepherd. For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For the lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. For the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid of? For He has lifted up the light of His countenance upon me. He has. So no room for guilt. No room for shame. No room for condemnation. I say God's word to me. Thank you, Father. Declare God's word to yourself. Come on. And why? Says the Lord. Why are you expecting evil? Why are you expecting things not to work out well? Why are you expecting a bad marriage? Why are you expecting a bad result? You know why? You expect it because somewhere Satan has made you feel that you do not qualify for the good. But I tell you what, you qualify for the good things of life. And that qualification is Jesus. He's the qualification. Because He is your shepherd, you want nothing good. There is nothing good that He will be told from you. And so never say to yourself, I'm not qualified for it. Never say to yourself, I'll have a bad marriage. Never say to yourself, the business will not do well. Never expect evil. Expect good and good and good and good and good. It doesn't matter what you think you've done or how far you think you've gone. I tell you, you still qualify for the good things of life. And I hear the Lord say, I will look past it. 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 I will look past your mistakes. I will look past your failings. And I will give it to you. I will look past your incompetences. But I'm going to give it to you. I will look past it. I will look past it. I hear it again. I will look past your failings. I will look past your incompetence. I will look past your mistakes. I will look past the things you've not done right. I will look past things you've not done well. And I will give it to you. I will give it to you. For I will do it despite you. You are not my motivation. I am my motivation, says the Lord. My goodness is my motivation, says the Lord. You are not my motivation. Your life is not my motivation. Your conduct is not my motivation. I, says the Lord, I am my own motivation. And I will give it to you because of myself. I hear the Lord. I will give it to you because of my namesake. For my namesake, for my own self, I will do it. And so deal with those guilt and those voices rising. You qualify, says the Lord. Announce that I qualify. Come on, say, I qualify, I qualify, I qualify. Hey, everything that is of God, I qualify to have it. For He is my qualification. Pray in other tongues for a minute. Pray in other tongues for some minutes. Just talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Something is tearing and rising more and more. Talk in tongues for a moment. Talk in tongues for a moment. Talk in tongues for a moment. Talk in tongues. Ababa Rosh. Zagalabarada. Zalabarakata yada labakata. Shekalabarakata labazakata. Shigalabarakati yagalabarateka. Shikalabarate kalabarokotoya. Ilegada legada 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 legada. Zore babarata lagavaradaya. Shigalabarakata lababashata. Etigolo. Ziprete tia. Vertica mote, perecato mata, perecote mete, eva rakata la banaria. Sepo, repo, rete, lepo, rata, lata. Checa, leta, rapa, seta, lata. Ekemate. Zoka laga. Sure tia. Profete. Yabaladash. For every time, I'm going to give you a psalm. Every time, I'll give you words in your spirit, man. And so whenever it looks like you are down, look within, there is a psalm rising. Look within, there are words rising. Look within, there are prophecies rising. Look within, there is something rising. And so give vocal expression to those things rising. Every time you think you are down, there is a psalm rising. There is a psalm rising. Yes, there is a psalm rising. There are words rising. There is a stirring. Every time there is a stirring. And so don't give heed. Don't pay attention to those words. Hey, Abalada Bashan. I'll give you 5 minutes. There are words rising in this place. There is a psalm rising from your inside. It's reassuring you. It's reassuring you. As you speak in tongues, words are rising. Begin to speak them in English, in Igbo, in Yoruba, in whatever language. There are words rising on your inside. As you speak in tongues and talk in the Holy Ghost, words are rising on your inside. There is a psalm. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Forget not all his benefits. There is a psalm rising. There are words. Stirrings of the spirit. Yes, the answer is in those words. The answer is in those words. Jesus. Yes. That is a psalm, that is a word, that has tears in your heart. Woo! Hey! What you call impossible is the voice of your guilt keeping you down. It's the voice of guilt telling you cannot do it. Break out from it. Rise from there. Break out from it. Pay no attention to those voices. Yes. Ha ha ha. He won't lie. Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. You've made me love thee more and more. Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. You've made me love thee more and more. Jesus, my Lord.
My Lord, I adore. You've made me love thee more and more. Hey, Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. Hey,
Lord
Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. You made me love thee more and more.
My Lord, I thee adore. You've made
Jesus. Jesus, my Lord, I did adore. You've made me love thee more and more. You've made me Jesus, my Lord, I did adore, for you've made me love thee more and more. Jesus, my Lord, I did adore, your love has made me. Jesus, my Lord, I adore. Your mercies has made me love more and more. Jesus, my Lord, this guy is grateful, Lord. You've made you know, God has shown us mercies. First on the cross, by the death of his son. But you know, that is enough. But even beyond that, this, the things he has done for us this month is enough. You don't know what this month meant for me. I saw hopeless cases turn around. God has been good. God has been good. God has been good. He's been good. Yeah. And whenever you hear things like this, you hear testimonies, I like you to know you really, really qualify for them. And I sense strongly now that if you have a case and a health issue, anybody with a health issue that the doctor said it cannot be changed, put your right hand. I feel the anointing for that now. Something the doctor said it can't be changed, that medicine cannot handle it, put your right hand. Put your right hand. I sense the anointing strongly for that. Stand if you're like that. Stand. I saw the situation. Stand. What you see, there is no hopeless case. I sense the anointing strongly for that. They said it can't be changed. Now, and God is going to change it for his own glory, for his own namesake, not because you deserve it. You know what I sense on me? Strongly, that same, the kind of, the influence that we had the last night at Resurfact. I sense that influence strongly on me. You know, sometimes the anointing of God comes upon you, wears you like a suit sometimes. And I sense it very strongly on me right now. And I pray from that same office, every case that a doctor has said it can't be solved, is solved right now. The instruction is, come, I'm going to lay hands on you. That's the instruction. I'll just lay my hands on you. Once I place, come, if you're like that, come. I'm going to place my hands on you. And I'm going to give you now. The doctor said it will not be changed, but by my God and by the supernatural workings of God. Take note of it. Because I tell you, nothing is impossible. If it has been written off, you know, the Lord said to me one day, he said, never put a full stop. We have not put it. Yeah. We have not put it. I was sharing with you guys in the first service, this other lady that giving her deadline, they told her, see, but the day they told her she was, the day they diagnosed her of the sickness, the doctor was trying to encourage her that she'll be strong, that some even live more than 2 years, some even live more than 3 years. But God, if God has not written you off, he has not. You get the point? And he won't write you off. And it was still at least the fact that the power of God came upon her and she went for a test. She's fully free now. If God has not written you off, don't write it off yet. So doctor said it can be solved. I say it is done. It is done in the name of Jesus. Done in the name of Jesus. Done in the name of Jesus. It's done. It's done. It's done. It's done in the name of Jesus. Now, by the word, by my own words, you return back to the test. Do the test again. Get back to me. You're not going to check if it is God. You are going to see that it's no more there. Because what the doctors have said is just the words of man. I speak from my office, which has never failed. And this sickness is done. In the name of Jesus. 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 God has healed you. And I hear the Lord say, it doesn't matter how many times that you've been prayed for over this very issue. It doesn't matter how many times. All you have to do now is to laugh. Laugh. Do it again. Laugh. So why are you guys happy? Because it's done. Glory to God. Ha 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 ha. Hey. Hallelujah. You see, and I'm saying this to you. If you are a member of this church, we've entered that season of incurable cases. Do you know what I said? I heard the Lord say to me, we've entered that season of incurable. So any day, I said, any day, once you are connected to this commission, you see a case called incurable, approach it. Because that season is here now. That season of incurable, when the doctor writes it off, let your faith be stirred in you. And that season is here. Glory to God. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Go back to your seat. It's done. It's done. It's done. Give him praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where are we? Hallelujah. So I've continued where I stopped last week. Okay. That's where we are, right? Yeah. Glory to God. So we just have a very short time. I have 30 minutes to teach. Can you imagine that unbelief? I said I have 30 minutes to teach. And I will shock you today. Praise God. You know, a good preacher must know how to preach long and to preach short. You know, I've told you that, right? I should be able to explain the gospel in 52 seconds. Did you get it? And then explain the gospel in 3 hours. So you should be able to do all of them. So whether they give you 52 seconds, you should be able to do it. They give you 4 hours, you should be equal to the task. So today, I'll just take a little time. 30 minutes to 45 minutes to 1 hour, to 1 hour 30 minutes. But don't mind me. I'm not taking your time. Okay, fine. Today we are summarizing what we've been doing. What should be bettered in you after this series is that spiritual flow must have been simplified for you. I get the point. You should begin to try it. I said something in the first service. Thank you, Father. You see, you better master the things of the Spirit now so that you will not have to learn them when you're already desperate. I didn't get the point. You better, for instance, you better master, for instance, the art of healing and miracles so that you will not get desperate when you need it badly. I didn't get the point. You not need it badly and not, you not become desperate. Because that's what many people are. That's what many people are. You don't want to learn how to minister to the sick, how to heal. You don't really care about it. You know, I say this. Being born again does not immune you from life challenges. I hope you know that. What it does is to empower you to live above them when they come. So you better be. So what I'm saying is, even though you are saved, tough times will come. I'm not praying a bad prayer for you, but your husband could fall sick tomorrow. Your child, your brother, they could be diagnosed with something that they say it cannot be helped. If you've not mastered the art of praying for headache, praying for eye problem, praying for toothaches to cure, to cast them out, when that case comes staring at you, you get into a sort of dilemma. I didn't get the point. Like, now I'm teaching you. Use faith. Speak by faith. Receive your miracle. Receive this. Receive money. You don't want to use it. a time is going to come when you get so much in need of money that you will now know you need the miraculous. I didn't get the point. But because you've not trained yourself to walk in it, we are teaching you now how to live by health, by divine health, declare God's health, pray for the sick. You will not master it. You see now when they say that you are pregnant but the baby is sitting down. Is that where you now, is it where you now start learning? You say, Pastor, I'm confused. Don't be confused that time. If you've been doing it before, it's just the same thing. I've seen this case, all right? Have you? I've seen it. Said baby is sitting down. Babies are interesting. The baby is squeezing. Say for like 9 months, you guys have been bending me upside down. I want to sit. Hallelujah. You need to learn how to walk, you know, because the things of the Spirit are yours. And I've said that over and over again. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 that the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to all of us to profit. To profit. Thank you, Father. And so, it's us. So, I'm going to just show you. Last week, we talked about two things, right? Remember? If you want to flow, simplify, or improve your spiritual flow, first thing I talked about last week was knowledge. Knowledge. What helps people get better with spiritual flow is the knowledge of God's word. Colossians 3 verse 16 will tell us, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And he now says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So it is when the word of God dwells in you richly that spiritual flow becomes easier and simplified. Hallelujah. So knowledge is one. The second one is you must deal with guilt and condemnation in your heart. If you're still feeling guilty and feeling you're not qualified and feeling condemned and feeling you cannot do it, you will never do it. So you must kill those voices that are rising in your heart. And like I said last week, there are some of you, the reason you've not made much progress in your walk with God is because you tried something some time ago and the thing failed. And then the devil now puts that picture in your mind. You went to pray for a blind man. He did not see. Do you want to try another failure? You see, if you don't deal with that picture in your mind, it's the voice of condemnation. That condemnation is what stops people from making much progress in their walk with God. If as far from my experience, what I discussed last week is the highest hindrance. You see ignorance, you see guilt and condemnation, they will hinder you forever. They will hinder you forever. Many people don't pray in tongues, don't interpret tongues, don't do whatever, because they don't even know anything about it. Some that know, they don't even know that they can. Hallelujah. Some don't know a thing about tongues. They don't know a thing about interpretation. Do you know one of the greatest needs of the greatest need of the church is teaching? How do you know this? The greatest thing we need to do in the church is to teach. And some people that even speak in tongues cannot go beyond that. Do you know why? Because even the normal tongues they speak, they don't even understand it. They don't even know what tongues is. Why do you speak in tongues? What do you use tongues for? You hear the point? Somebody told me, it's good to speak in tongues. When you're speaking in tongues, you're confusing the enemy. I said, that's the reason you know about tongues. To confuse the enemy. If that's what you believe about tongues, that is even... it is way beyond that. It's beyond confusing enemies. It's way beyond that. Because you've even ignored... Because tongues... Listen, tongues is not towards the enemy. Hope you know. You don't use tongues to cast Satan out. Tongues is towards God. He that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. It's God you are talking to. So why is it enemy that's the first thing in your mind? Say, confuse your enemy. You are even confusing yourself. Even tongues, you can't even understand it yourself, can you? Except to interpret it. So people don't even understand the basic thing. Do you know, even as simple as salvation, people don't understand salvation. As simple as... You know, talking about the Spirit, some years ago, I've shared this story here before. I was invited to somewhere to preach, somewhere in this Enugu. A youth meeting. And I just got there and I was supposed to teach on the things of the Spirit. So I was just blowing hot. But these guys were not connecting. So I was like, you know, everybody, we can all speak in tongues. They were looking at me. I said it again. They were looking at me. So I stopped. I said, wait, do you people believe that everybody can speak in tongues? They said, no. I said, okay. And I closed my message notes and changed the message entirely, because they don't even know the basic thing. How can you be talking to somebody that you can hear the sick? He doesn't even believe he can speak in tongues at all. I don't get the point. Knowledge is the major problem. So some of them, I let up, some of them they're like, I say, okay, what do you think? The other one said, no, I don't have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of interpretation. I say, wow. How can you interpret something you don't know? Something you cannot speak, you are the interpreter. Just like you can't speak Igbo, but you can interpret. You can. It doesn't even make sense. The other one said, my own is only miracle. It's only miracle. I said, wow. That is ignorance, first class ignorance. That is ignorance. So I had to spend that as it calmed down, started explaining. I didn't even do much again. I just explained basically what tongues is. Some of them are even still bearing this notion. Some of you still bear the notion. That's if you are not here from the beginning. That tongues can be French, it can be German, it can be Pidgin, it can be Yoruba, it can be Hebrew. Some people still believe that. If that's what you believe, please change it all. I've explained that here a couple of times. Do you not realize that if tongues is French, it means if I can understand French, I can interpret tongues. Don't you get it? It means if I understand French, I don't need the Holy Ghost. I can just interpret tongues. If tongues is Igbo, man, I interpret Igbo. I don't get the point. No, that's not it. Tongues is a spiritual language. I've explained Acts chapter 2 experience for you, right? They were not speaking different languages. That's a story for another day. But then knowledge is the major thing you need. So today I will talk about three things like I did in the first service that will help you improve your spiritual flow and get better with it. The first one I talked about is 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. The Bible calls it coveting. Coveting. It says covet earnestly the best gifts. Like I've explained to you, this coveting in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31 is not talking about covet to possess. It doesn't mean desire to possess. The reason is because, like I showed in the first service, in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, the Bible already, as Paul already showed, that every believer has the manifestation of the Spirit. Look at that on the screen. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many men? Every man. So we all have it. So when he announces in verse 31, covet, it doesn't mean covet to have it, since you already have it. I didn't get the point. It will be covet to flow in it. So the first step to making progress in your spiritual work, and everybody please pay very close attention, your spiritual flow, is that you must have a burning desire to make the progress. You must have a burning desire to do spiritual things. If you don't have that desire, you cannot do them. If you don't care about spiritual things, you know, I said this, you've been going to church since you are small. You see them heal the sick. You see them raise the dead. Has there ever been anything in you that wanted to do those things? And there should be. Because if there is no such desire in your heart, you cannot do much with the Spirit. You can't. You get the point? It takes such burning desire. You know, I told you guys in first service, when I got born again, I wanted to do everything supernatural. Yeah. It was my desire to heal the sick. I wanted to raise the dead. I wanted to multiply bread. I wanted to walk on water. I wanted to know things by the Spirit. And I still want it today. And if you are such a person, you don't want those things, you can't do much with it, with the supernatural. You know, it's just like a human being. If you are a human being, as you are a human being, and you are 15 or you are 20, and yet you cannot talk, but every other person is talking around you, you should be bothered, shouldn't you? That's how you should desire. Bible said, covet earnestly. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12, Paul will tell them, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, he says, seek that you may excel in these too. So this church, something characterized them, they were very zealous for spiritual gifts. And let me say something to you. You know, I heard Brother Egan say one day, he said, I'd rather have wildfire than wet blankets. Do you understand that? He was trying to say, it's better that we have a church where the things of the Spirit is flowing, but people are not organized, they don't have knowledge, they're just messing it up, then we have a place where it's not happening at all, and we all have knowledge. I didn't get the point. We have a place where we are all proper, nothing is happening. It's better the fire is wired than the blanket is wet. You must seek to do spiritual things. I get the point. There should be a burning desire in your heart to do more. To do more. But then the desire should not be to possess. Because by teaching, you know, you already possess it. Amen. You know, we are complete in Christ. Amen. The desire should be, I want to do this. I want to flow in spiritual things. I want to do more. I want to do more. The disciples will try to cast out a devil and they did not succeed. And they met Jesus and asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? That's how people think. You should want to do more. When you do not do it, well, find out why. Don't be a complacent Christian. Don't just relax. You know, don't just be a person that does not care about spiritual things. I give you an example. Somebody, a man of God, is well gifted with a prophetic. Well gifted. Two people, one girl has been in the church for the past 10 years. Her testimonies are, she found husband in the church. What second testimony? She got a job. She got promotion. That's all she had in the 10 years. Another guy enters the church. In 1 year, he's already flowing in the same thing the man is flowing in. Their passion was different. One came for the things, the other came for the gift. I didn't get the point. There should be something burning in you that wants to move mountains, that wants to go beyond, I receive. There should be something burning in you that wants to go beyond taking to start giving. Are you following me? And I want to steer you. Well, I tell you, that's how we started our Christian work. Amazingly, it's not a good thing. But I didn't start my Christian work wanting to know the word. I started my Christian journey wanting to flow in the supernatural, wanting to raise the dead, wanting to stop deaf ears, wanting to raise the... And it is still there till today. At every time in my life, I want to do more. When I watch Christian meetings, I told you guys, when I was first present in the first miracle service I attended, and I see a cripple walk, I told myself, I can do this. It wasn't pride, I was shouting on top of my voice. Because it stirred something in me. No, I was giving glory to God, but I knew I was going to go try that out. So I want to ask you, does anybody here want to be more? Do you want to do more? Do you want to be able to know things by the Spirit? To see in the Spirit? You should want it. You should want it. We wanted it so much in our ignorance, it drove us to do crazy things. We went to mountain. We stayed days. I'm not against going to the mountain. I'm not against fasting and praying. But then we're fasting and praying for the wrong reason. We're fasting and praying to have it. You don't pray to have spiritual gifts. You have them. It's a gift. You don't beg for gifts. It's a gift because you don't merit it. I didn't get a point. It's a gift. I'll show you the role of prayer. But we're fasting to have it. But then it was that serious. I wanted more. And I still want it today. I told them in the first service, the first time I watched Jacob pray for someone that had cancer and the cancer dropped. The thing got formed a growth in the person's skin and prayed and the growth dropped into his hand. I said, my God, this is my grandfather. I just know that guy is my grandfather. That's where I come from. Praise God. And that's how I think. I watched R.W. Chamber. I don't know if you know him. Watched R.W. Chamber. This, you know, he worked very directly under A. Allen. And he told stories of how Allen will pray so much in a meeting that not just that the power of God will come on people, some of them will find oil in their palm, physical oil, in meetings. I said, that's my ancestry. That guy is one that senior my father. You see that? That's where I come from. I don't know where you come from. Hallelujah. But that guy is the elder brother to my father. And I watch Captain Kuman. And I just know that's my great grandmother. I watched Captain Kuman. Now watch the first meeting I saw in one meeting, more than 16 wheelchairs emptied. I said, see where I belong now. This is me. You should want to do it. Doesn't matter whether you're a pastor or you're an evangelist, you should want to do miracles. You should want to see. You should want to walk miracles. There should be a desire. Want it. You get the point? He said, Elijah told Elisha, what do you want? He said, you see, the double of this thing you are carrying, I want it. Hallelujah. Now, Elisha wanted it. He didn't have it in him. That was the Old Testament. We want to flow in it more. There should be such desire. Hallelujah. I want to do more. I want to do more. I want to flow more. Why? The ability has been given to me. I cannot just remain. The key thing is, if you don't want to do more, you will never do more. God will never go beyond your will. Let me get a point. He will never go beyond what you want. He will never go beyond your will. You see, when I see people in the office, there are different kinds of people I see. When people walk up to me and they say things like, "Sir, you know, my great grandfather and my mother, the one that's not my mother, has been sick. And now, another person," the way they begin to tell those kind of things, I'm listening. Sometimes I'm not hearing what they're saying. When they finish talking, I'll say, "It's done in Jesus' name." That's all. But you see, that company, those people that walk up and they say things like, "Sir, I really want to. I want to take nations. I want to do more." I have that time. Oh, sit down. Let's talk. Because there should be something that wants to be more. You should want to be beyond coming to church and going back. Hallelujah. You should want to do more. And that's how people win my heart. I go for a meeting. People are lined up. "Sir, my ear is deepening me. Be healed in Jesus' name. My leg is deepening in Jesus' name. The pain moved to my chest. We'll continue." But there are some of those few guys who come and say, "Sir, this thing you are doing, show me how to do it. I want to handle." And that was me. I've never met a man of God for my problem. The only person I talk to about my problem once in a while, when it becomes for him, is my spiritual father. I say, "Sir, Daddy, the thing is turning my head." But then most of the time is, "Man, I like this thing you have. I like how you used to do it." You should have something in you that wants to do more for Jesus. I get the point. That wants to heal more people. You see, something in you should want to raise the dead. I read that Smith Wigglesworth, that the number of dead people he raised can form a church. I said, "That guy is my red dad." Amen. Amen. That's how to do it. You don't just... Who inspires? What inspires? What motivates you? What steers you? You know, I was telling them in the first service, there is a menace in our generation. Something that is bad happening. There is a money craze. A money craze. People do wedding and are spraying money. And believers are so amazed. And they say, "Man, God, when? God, when what?" You see the kind of things that move you. They now have money spraying machine. And I say, like, wow. I'm not saying you should not like money. It's your business. But you see, that same thing that video steers in you, there should be something else that should rise in you. When you see a believer heal the sick, it should steer you like that. Yeah. God, when? That's your question. But that, don't ask God when. You say, "God, now. I'm going to just go do the same." You see, it shows us that our priorities have been misplaced. Watch a video where they're spraying money, or maybe where there are 10 cars that are singing, "Oluwamabagbemi, I want all this money." You're like, "God, I want." You see, your heart is steered already. You feel like jumping, "Glory!" But then you see videos. Do you know, the beautiful thing now is, YouTube, you are not giving free data in the night. Do you observe? You observe, right? If you subscribe, they give you free data from 11 p.m. Use it well. Stay awake. Stay on YouTube. Watch videos. Don't watch nonsense. Watch healing videos. Let your heart be steered. Want power. Not to possess it, but to do it. I don't get the point. Want it. Hallelujah. The first day I told myself, I say, you see, I have a new obsession now. That obsession is with cancer. It's my obsession now. I hate cancer. Any person who see cancer, call me, I'm going to appear. Because I saw it kill people. I say, and I began to watch videos of men of God who handled cancer. I said, this is where I come from. I hate cancer. I'm obsessed with cancer patients. If you see them, invite me. It's my new obsession now. I've stayed on it for long, and I'm still on it. Even this time, I'm going to watch it again. Where cancerous cases are getting healed. But I tell you what, you should want to do more. I didn't get the point. You cannot finish your life if you did not raise the dead now. You didn't succeed. How can you live your life if you didn't raise the dead? And you're like, "I know now." How will you die? You won't die well. You won't die well. So you finished all your life, you didn't hear from God. You never told anybody, the Lord, thus says the Lord. And you died. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't say, God, since I've not finished, please let me just go and do one more and come back. There should be much more that wants to do the supernatural in you. I confess the best gift. Don't just come to church to be a taker. I'm not calling you to come and become a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle. But don't just be here to be, I receive more power in me. I receive promotion. Amen. When will you start giving the same to others? When will you say, silver or gold I don't have, such as I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You should want to do more. And apart from helping the world, like I said when I was starting, one day your family is going to need it badly. I don't get the point. One day they're going to declare your sister or your brother hopeless. And you come in and say, the hope has come. You should want those things. But you don't master them yet. Until when the case arises, you begin to shake. You begin to shake. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, as a guy, it's good to be married. And the way you are married, your wife comes back from work one day and say, they said that they will owe us or that will happen. You just turn and say, don't worry, it's not going to happen. Your wife should know you have that kind of audacity. You understand the point? He said, no, it's not going to happen. You know, Bishop Oyedepo? He went out one day and came back, and the wife told him, I was crying. He said, what is it? He said, we just lost the baby. He said, what? My baby? It can't happen. Bring my food. And the baby did not lose. The woman has seen blood, miscarriage. He said, it can't happen. Get my food, let me eat. Your wife should know you are that kind of woman. I have to have respect in your house. Think it's my money. He should know. He said, when it comes up, don't worry, let me call my husband. You are not shouting, hey. And yes, everybody in your company are unbelievers. You want to marry that kind of man? Where would they come from? They're not coming for you. They're not anywhere close. All your friends don't go to church. And you want to marry a spiritual brother? You will never see him in Jesus' name. You want to waste his destiny, eh? Praise God. You know, it's amazing how brothers... let me talk to brothers a little. Well, it's amazing how brothers say, I want a prayerful wife. And you are what? What are you? I want a girl that can pray. You're a worshiper. You know, it's amazing. You want a prayerful... And what are you? What are you going to be doing when she's praying? So, well, I'll be running around. She'll be covering me in prayer. God will not give you that kind of wife. You will not waste that girl's destiny in the name of Jesus. People are not serious in this. Listen, let us not have a brother that can pray and a sister that cannot. Or a sister that can pray and a brother that cannot. Let's have a prayerful home. You get the point? Kenneth and Oretta Hagin. Do you know them? I'm not saying all of you must be in ministry full time, but at least you guys know how to handle spiritual things now. Oh God. Oh. Glory to God. Oh well, let's leave that. But then, you must want the spiritual things. Don't be too cold. Don't be too cold. Come on. Some persons, they irritate me. The coldness around them is too much. There's no drive, no fervency for spiritual things. How do you survive? How do you come? How do you exist? Hallelujah. There should be more than you want. Glory to God. The second thing I'm going to say, I'm talking about three things. If we're going to do more with spiritual things, is gain mastery by more use. More use and more practice. The things of the spirit function and grow by more and more and more use. If you pray in tongues the more, you get better at it. If you lay hands on the sick the more, you get better at it. If you cast out devils the more, you get better at it. If you don't do it, you will never get better at it. That's why the Bible will tell us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Anything you see, if there's any area you want to specialize. Remember, I recommend the message, the anointing and the anointed. Okay? Get to the site and get it. If there's any area of the anointing you want to specialize, because that's what many people call that man of God is specially gifted for this. Most times it's not really a special gifting. Most times it is that he has specialized in that aspect. And one way to specialize in it is use. Make it a practice, for instance. Start praying for the sick every day or every week, 2 times in a week. It will not be long. You will get so better with it. Even with special cases. Yeah, you will get better. You will get easier. It will get easier and simpler with you. Anything you keep doing. I said this in the first service. You remember? Do you remember the first time you spoke in tongues? You were not even speaking it loud. You were just speaking small, small. But then you kept speaking it. Gradually, boldness kept coming. You get the point? It kept increasing. Even if you are not that bold to speak in tongues, I tell you what to do from now. Keep speaking it. Somebody told me I'm not that bold to speak in tongues. I say, fine, just speak quietly for 2 hours. You can't do it. You get the point? Once you just go quietly for 5 minutes, quietly for 10 minutes, from 15 minutes, you are out of your mind. You know, that this is one major proof to me that tongues is not carnal. That it can intoxicate. Have you observed? It's nothing normal. You can just, sometimes you're not even in the mood. You just sit down in your bed. Sleep is coming. You know, the thing is rising. Anything you do, you know, Paul will tell them in 1 Corinthians, he said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, that statement, like I said, does not mean that's 1 Corinthians 14 verse 18. Yeah, that statement does not mean I have more gift of tongues than you people. We all share these things in fellowship. Remember, that statement would mean I use it more than all of you. And I always say that's a very bold statement. The fact that Paul says I speak with us more than all of you. In other words, gather all your tongues together. Mine is more. That begins to tell you or give you a peep into the personal life of Apostle Paul. So pray in tongues a lot in your prayer. After your prayer, pray in tongues while you drive. Pray in tongues while you walk. Pray in tongues in your classroom. Pray in tongues everywhere. Normalize tongues. It's going to make you, you see, you're going to get so used to spiritual flow. Anything you keep doing, it gets better. Same thing with prophecy. Normalize it. The next time a word drops in your heart, give it. If you can boldly give it now and give it again and give it again, you are developing more confidence even in yourself to give it more. The next time somebody says, I have a headache, stop forming doctor. Lay hands on her. Amen. Don't say, have you taken Novagene? So I finished one packet. Say, there is no more malaria. It's not typhoid. Who told you? I think it's acute malaria. If you can begin to lay hands on the sick, with more use, you get better. With more use, you get better. Even I was telling them in the first service, even with what we call teaching, the fact that I teach, I listen to messages I preached 3 years ago and what I preached last year. Sometimes on the same subject, you know, I preach on the same subject a lot and I will do it all my life. Yeah. Actually, repetition is the life of truth. Anything you don't hear over and over again, you don't know it. So I'm not one of those pastors that want to sound new all the time. No, I don't do that. I teach you the same thing, maybe in a new, different way, maybe with new scriptures, sometimes with the same scriptures, but I shall teach it. But every time I listen to what I taught last year, last 2 years, I know I'm better this year with them. What does it mean? I'm even simpler. I didn't get a point. You can now get it better. Why? I've been doing it and doing it. If I sit down, it will not, you know, it won't get better with it. If you don't ever want your child to walk, you know, my niece, whenever she's around, when she was straight practicing walking and all that, they'll just allow her to start walking. And personally, if I'm around, I'm going to stand behind her. Don't follow. And they'll say, leave her. You know, it's not that kind of thing. Me, I'm afraid. What if she falls and hits her head on the floor? No, that's just me. They say, leave her. She will not fall. I say, what if she falls? But I realize that if you don't ever let them take that step, they will never walk. You get the point? But I still don't know. Because if they still stand up to walk, I will go and stand behind. Before mistake now happened, then I say, one day I was not there, she now fell. I know women are somehow. Then I say, then her let her fall. Now if she falls, she will stand up and she will be stronger. I say, imagine these people. You want to kill somebody's child. But actually, that's the truth. If you don't ever get her to make those moves, she won't do it. And that's the thing with the things of the spirit. But as you keep doing it, your leg becomes stronger. Before you know, you can even notice. Doing those things does not give her new legs. You get the point? That's why the gift of God, you does not grow. It doesn't. You are the one that will grow in the gift. I didn't get the point. It won't give her new legs, but it will make her stronger. So you practice them more. You practice them more. Because of our time, I talk about the last thing, which is steer the gift. Steer the gift. Steer the gift in you. Glory to God. Steer that gift. So one way to make, how do you make more progress in your work with God? Number one, I said convert the best gift. Have a desire to do it. Secondly, I said gain mastery by more use. By more use, by practice. And then thirdly, I'm saying steer that gift. I said, how do I steer the gift? I'll give you three easy ways. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 will say, I put you in remembrance that you steer up the gift of God that is in you. And so there is a gift of God in you, but you need to steer it up. And there are three ways I mentioned in the first episode. I'm going to mention them and I'll begin to pray. I've thought about the first already, which is tongues. Speaking in tongues is one easy way. It's a gift of the Spirit on its own, but it's one gift that steers up every other gift in you. It's one gift that makes way for every other spiritual gift. In fact, it's so special. I was telling you guys as a result of fact. It's so special that an interpretation of tongues are the only gifts that the Old Testament saints never experienced. They did every other thing. You know, right? They healed the sick. They worked miracles. They worked by faith. Old Testament guys, they saw visions. But they didn't speak in tongues. Hallelujah. So what am I doing that Elijah could not do? He could not pray in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. He couldn't pray in tongues. He couldn't interpret it. You have to pray first before you interpret. But then, so why is that gift there? Jude verse 20, building up yourself in your most holy faith. So that gift builds you up. How do you build yourself in your most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So by much praying, you are building yourself up. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, he that speaketh in unknown tongues edifieth himself. Edifieth himself. Put up NLT of this verse. King James said he edifies himself. NLT said a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. So tongues strengthens you. And so in much tongues, you are giving life to the gift of God that is in you. That's why if you're here, you don't pray in tongues. And you are born again. I don't know what you're doing. That gift is already there. Begin to flow. Once you begin to pray, you see, the thing is, you say, so I can't pray in tongues though. Because I'm very careful. I don't want, you know, that sin against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. So I don't want to speak fake tongues. And I asked them in the first service, why is your own tongues that is fake? Don't think like that. It's a terrible voice speaking to you. Your tongues is not fake. Like I told you guys in the first service, there is no fake tongues in the Bible. Nobody ever spoke fake tongues. People gave fake prophecies. People did false teaching. People did fake miracles. Nobody did fake tongues. Hallelujah. Because a believer cannot speak fake tongues. The only tongue that is fake is the tongue of the unbeliever. Say amen. Yeah. It's the tongue of the unbeliever. That's the fake. Hallelujah. So when you do it, it begins to give expression to every other spiritual faculty in you. Gives expression. So with tongues, you steer up. Second way you steer up, I'm already talking about, is impartation. By impartation and the laying on of hands, you see, you can give life to the gift of God in you. Now, impartation, like I've always explained, does not give you new anointing. No, it gives expression to what is already working on your inside. That's what impartation does. That's what impartation does. We find that example I showed them in the first service. For instance, Numbers 27 and verse 18. Yeah. Numbers 27 and verse 18. Glory to God. You find Moses prayed for Joshua. I like this because of the way it comes. Okay, go back to King James. Because of the way it comes, he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand on him. So Joshua was already a man who Moses could call a man in whom is the Spirit. Whatever that meant, okay? But then God still said, lay your hands on him. Notice what happened. After he laid his hands on him, in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9, we now see the resultant effect of that impartation. You see, that's verse 9. It says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? For Moses had laid his hands on him. So that when he says full of, it means that wisdom began to gain full expression. Men could see it. Men could touch it. I don't get the point. And then what followed next? The children of Israel hearkened unto him. They began to follow him because hands were laid on him. And so that's why we don't make light of impartations. So most times when hands are laid on you, it will act. Maybe you already have the gift of healing. Every believer has it. But I can place my hands on you and those gifts will become very active. Another example we saw in the first service in Acts chapter 6, verse 6. Of course, in verse 3, they said, pick 7 men in whom is the Spirit. Men who are put up verse 3. Look at it. Because I like this. Put up verse 3. Wherefore, look ye among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. When he says full of the Holy Ghost, it means these guys were very full. It means they expressed the things of the Spirit very well. So they were not men lacking in the anointing per se. But look at what happened in verse 6. They appointed them and the verse 6, whom they said before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, even though they were full of the Holy Ghost. I don't even get the point. What did he produce? Verse 8. Stephen, a man full of faith, did great wonders. And so you find out that that laying of hands produced the working of miracles in Stephen. And I said, like I said in the first service, you know, don't waste impartations. Amen? Amen. Don't waste it. There are many ways people waste impartations. I will talk about that one day. I'm going to turn impartations fully. There are many ways people waste it. For instance, some people, you lay hands on them, they don't even know what happened to them when you lay hands on them. And since they don't know, nothing can change. But then some one other way is that you lay hands on people, they know what has happened to them, but they don't walk in the light of it. If I lay hands on you and I say for flow in the prophetic, how do you use that impartation? Step out immediately and begin to flow in the prophetic. If you don't do it, it's going to be wasted. If I lay hands on you and I say, right now, the gift of flowing is staring on your inside, like I announced a few minutes ago, we've gone into the realm of that incurable cases as a ministry. If you want that to begin to work in you, what do you do? Begin to work in it. Hallelujah. So that impartation will stir up that gift of God in you. It will stir it. It will stir it. Hallelujah. Again and again, we find that in the Bible. Of course, in Romans 1 verse 11, Paul would say, I look forward to coming to miss you, to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts. Some spiritual gifts. To the end, that it may be established. So we can impart spiritual gifts to people. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, neglect not the gift of God that is in you, that came on you by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So when hands are laid on you, the gift of God gets activated. Paul is now saying, don't neglect it, begin to use it. So, hallelujah. So by the laying on of hands, we stir up the things of God that are in us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. By the laying on of hands, we stir up the gift of God that is in us. We stir up the gift of God that is in us. You know what the Lord said to me now? You know, there's a scripture that's in my mind right now. Moses, you know, there was a day Moses called out 70 guys. God told him to bring 70 guys and take off his spirit and put on them. You know that place, right? Yeah. I think that should be... thank you, Father. That's Numbers 11, yeah. Numbers 11, verse 24. That's not the story I want to share with you but actually he called them out, 70 men. He said, I'll take off your spirit and put on them. And that's why in the local church, you need to understand that this statement I made now, we've gotten to that point. Whenever you are serving on the leader in the local church, what is working on that leader? Once he's laying hands on you, what is working in him is working in you. I didn't get the point. Yeah. What is working in him is working in you. He said, I'm going to take off your spirit and put on them. Praise God. Yeah. I just thought to say that. So, impartations can steer those gifts. So, finally, and I'm going to sound as a note of warning, instruction, however you want to put it. One last thing that can steer the gift of God in you is association. Association, your association will either steer God's gift in you or quench it. It can either activate it or stifle it. It can either improve it or decline it. And for many of you, that is actually your story. You see, company matters a lot in this thing we do. There is a company you get into, everything about you changes. So I said in the first service, it's about two things. First is about your company. Secondly is about the meetings you go to. You see, the meetings you go to and the people you roll with can determine whether you make progress in your spiritual work or not. If you have friends that do not improve your flow with the supernatural, I can tell you it will not be long, you'll be like them. If you go to a church that does not place emphasis on spiritual flow, you're not going to flow in it. I didn't get the point. Where you find yourself, that is why it's good to be in a good church and be there always. Always. I showed them in the first service. In Acts chapter 2, the first time, the day of Pentecost and all that, the Bible tells us in verse 1 that they were gathered in one place in one accord. If everybody was in their house, what was going to happen? That day that the Holy Ghost came upon them, if somebody stayed at home and said, well, God can meet us anywhere. You get the point? If someone said, God can meet me anywhere, he will not flow in that. It was only the 120 there. So the things of the Spirit happen more and easier in good Christian meetings. As a matter of fact, if you maximize Christian meetings very well, you will make spiritual flow easier for you. I was giving an example in first service. When we hold Holy Ghost meetings, I will say, get a neighbor, speak to him, give him a word. You know, that is where you can train yourself. It is not in the marketplace that you learn to give words. You just fold your hand. It's in believers meeting that you can say, sir, the Lord said, I hear this, that. Person will say, yes, yes. What is happening? Your confidence begins to rise. In Acts 2, they were in a meeting. In Acts 4, verse 23, they were in another meeting. What actually happened was that they threatened them not to preach. And Bible said in verse 23, that Peter and John, they turned to their own company. You must have such company, amen. And when they told them, Bible said they prayed. And in verse 31, the place where they were was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you must have the right company. Be in the right meetings. Be in the right meetings. Before the Lord, or when the Lord says, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, he didn't tell that to Paul in his room. He said it in a Christian meeting. In Acts 13, verse 1, they were all gathered. That's why you must take advantage of good Christian meetings if your spiritual flow is going to be sharpened. I don't play with meetings. Apart from being a pastor, I don't miss church. Amen. Yeah, and it's deliberate. No, that meeting church does to you. It even, you are listening to church, you are seeing people doing those spiritual things. And it will activate you to do them. Even, do you know, even if you don't pray in tongues, and you come to a place they pray in tongues every week, Thursday, Sunday, for 1 month, you will start praying in tongues. It will rub off on you. Do you get the point? If all of us here are wearing a particular kind of perfume, which perfume now? Huh? You better not mention that abogity you used to spray. What perfume? Huh? Okay, smart is a popular one. Let's work with that. If all of us here are wearing smart collection, and this hall is packed, we are all on smart, and there is one person that comes into this place and is not on smart. If he stays here for like 30 minutes with all of us, and we're all touching ourselves, talking ourselves, by the time he goes, you perceive the same thing from him. That's how the thing happens. The things of the things rub off on us when we're in good Christian company. Hallelujah. That's why a guy can go out after hugging a girl. The wife will just come back and hug him and say, where have you been? Praise God. He said, no, it's not what you think. I can explain. Darling. Praise God. So, 1 Samuel chapter 10. Let me close with that. First Samuel chapter 10 verse 1. Have you been blessed? Let me close with that. And so, in being around Christian meeting and Christian men, Christian company, you are steering your heart to do better with spiritual things. They will even motivate you. Let me ask you, I was saying this last 2 weeks. Do you have friends that make you want to do more with God? If you don't have it, you are missing. That's why you always get cold. You see, the coldness in your heart might be as a result of bad company. You should have friends. And listen, if you have destroyed such friendships, go and build them back. Don't stay with people that always kill the flow of the spirit. People that don't care. Some of them can even be believers, but don't really care about this spiritual firepower thing. No, I don't really care. They will kill you, they will destroy you. I mind the supernatural fully. I mind it. If you're around me, you have to mind it. So staying around such friends will both motivate you to do it, encourage you to do it, make you do it, and all that. That's where the best place to build that kind of friendship is, in the local church. You know, that's why we teach that after service, you should stay back and make friends. Not any kind of friend. Make friends. Friends that will help steer your heart towards spiritual things. You know, it's amazing that people can hang out today in beer parlors. They hang out to watch football matches, even though they will beat their club. They hang out to do a lot of things. They hang out in cinemas. But then, what is after church? I'm going. Then I was discussing with somebody. I think it was one of our ministers here. He was telling me, you know, their lectures now run from 8 o'clock to 5 in the evening. And people are attending it every day. 8 o'clock, they are there till 5. Nobody's going to complain. Even if they complain, they will be there. Come to church. Once you stand 2 hours, your watch will spoil. You will see. What are you checking? You are just in a hurry to go home and to leave that place. If a football match is 1 hour 30 minutes, we are watching. If it enters extra time, we did. Do you understand? If they now play penalty, it's even sweeter. If your club now carries the cup, you stay back to watch them collect the cup. And it's not too much. Some movies, season movies, that one is demonic. You can be there for hours. Everybody's fine. It's okay. Wait, what did you do all day? Nothing. No, I was just watching film. And your friends will see, man, I envy you. But when the same friend says, what are you doing all day? He said, nothing. I was in church for months. I said, church till now? Ha! You are trying, no? Let me tell you. Don't let the world define normal to you. You get the point? It's normal to stay long in church. We've not even started. You know, it's two services that is causing this thing. You know me. It's normal to stay back and just be. I was telling you guys, I have friends that when we come together, we might meet at a junction. We are there talking Bible, talking scriptures, man. Talking power till 2 hours, 3 hours. Then I say, what was I going to be for self? I'm telling you. Praise God. And then we'll stay small and start praying. And start praying. Oh, have good friends in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Samuel took a vial of oil. This is the last scripture. And poured it upon his head and kissed him. And said, is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his? So Samuel anointed Saul. That was impartation. But then he began to speak to him. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find 2 men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Selzah, and they will sow unto thee. The asses which thou wentest out to seek are found. He said, your father is no more concerned about the asses, he is now concerned about you. Verse 3. Then thou shalt go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee 3 men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying 3 kids, and another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Okay? And they will salute thee and give thee 2 loaves, and give thee 2 loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Hallelujah. So they will give you, you receive, and you will find such men. Amen. Men that have what you need. But then, notice where I'm driving at. Verse 5. And that thou shalt come to the hill of God. Remember in verse 1, he imparted him. He now said, you shall come to the hill of God. where is the garrison of the Philistines? And it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Verse 6, let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned. So he said, I've anointed you, but you're going to meet this man. It is in meeting this man and coming into that prophetic influence that you begin to prophesy to. And of course, in verse 9 and verse 10, Saul met them and began to prophesy. So if Saul didn't come into that association, he will never flow in it. He has been anointed. You know, some things that you've received by impartation, you need association to steer them up. Let me say it again. Some things you've received by impartation, you need association to steer them up. Because sometimes I've imparted you, you have the healing, whatever, healing anointing and all that. You know it. Sometimes you need the right association to even push you to do it. To say, come, let's go to the hospital and pray for the sick. Come, let's go and minister. You know, there's somebody beside my house. They say they have been paralyzed for some time. I've been having this leading in my heart for us to go. Come, let's go. You don't have a friend like that? May God give you one. And not just God giving you, work it out. Walk into those places. Be deliberate about them. Don't just stay with people that don't have sense all the time. And so, see, when they came there to the hill, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Of course, the saying was now popular. Is Saul now among the prophets? And like I said in the first service, you observe that Saul never prophesied again all his life. And I can tell you why. If Saul had maintained, I'm saying this for somebody, if Saul had maintained that company, he would keep prophesying. I didn't get the point. And that's why the things that you did with the supernatural before now, yeah, yes, two people actually, a guy and a girl, the two were not in the first service. The things that you did with the supernatural some time ago can actually be done more and more. One of the things that spoiled was the association. You stop rolling with some people. You were not consistent with a very good church. Nobody was tearing and fanning those things to flame. And then it looked like they've disappeared. You need to build associations back, stay very strong with them, and grow and do better. By association, we can get stronger with spiritual flow. So I close by challenging you. You should want to do more. You should want to flow more. You should want to do more, to interpret tongues more, to prophesy the more, to see visions the more. You should want to give word of knowledge the more. There should be that desire in your heart. And don't just desire it, begin to do it. Don't just do it. Get into a company that will make you do it more and more and more and more. Get into that company. Get into that company. Get into that company. And then this season is a season for much more. And this much more I'm talking about is not just much more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. May is the month of much more. Month of May, much more. It's not just much more of physical things. It will be much more of supernatural flow. Much more of impact. Much more results. Much more supernatural flow. Much more results. Hallelujah. Much more, much more. And so I want to challenge you to do much more in the month of May. Heal the sick the more. Raise the dead the more. Cast out devils the more. Open blind eyes the more. Give prophetic words the more. Speak by prophecy the more. Just do more and more and more and more and more. Hallelujah. That season is here. And as you shall begin to try out your hands on these things, you have results you never expected to have. And I tell you, those pictures that are in your mind, those things you've seen in your heart, those things you've imagined in your heart, in this season, you will see them tangibly. Those sicknesses you've seen yourself heal in your dream. Because there are three persons here that have always been having such dreams. In those dreams, you'll be ministering to a particular kind of illness. A particular kind of illness. Listen. Atekoba Akeya. Zulafa. Go and attempt it. It will stand you out. You heard me? Like I said in the first service, it shall come to pass, and I'm hearing it again, that you will be known and marked out with that sickness, that this girl, she's a specialty in dealing with this kind of cases. That's why it's been coming up in your auditions. So step out and do them. It's the season of much more. Hallelujah. Are you ready for much more? Much more results, amen. much more impact, much more healings. I tell you, all over the place, you are going to have healings and healings and healings. Miracles, hallelujah. Tongues, interpretation, prophecies, eyes open, eyes that see, ears that hear, hands that heal, eyes that see, ears that hear, hands that heal. So me say, my eyes they see, my eyes they see, my ears hear, my hands they heal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Talking on that tongues wherever you are. Let's just close from here. Pray the Holy Ghost.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.